I don't know. She's out there. You're the Florida version of Sex and the City. Reach everybody. Reach
everyone. Get a little close. That's what I'm smoking my cigar.
Don't be an asshole today.
Yes, I did. We ate too much. We were very loud, as most Italian families are. We were a lot of people. And we did not have pasta, though, this year. We usually have some kind of a pasta dish, yeah. But we forgoed, is that a word? The pasta. And it was a lot of food, still a lot of food. So
yeah, it looked like a good time. I saw Joni's pictures. That's a big group you got there.
Yeah, there's a lot of babies now, a lot of children. It's very loud.
Very loud.
Very loud with not only the adults, but a lot of children.
Oh, so, that's all right.
It was nice.
Good. It was Thursday here.
Do you do a private, some kind of a private celebration of Thanksgiving?
No, I think of it as just Thursday. I just try not to think of it as a holiday. Pretty funny because somebody on my Facebook page that I went to high school with said, so when is Thanksgiving over there? Like, there's my upstate New York high school. Kicking in. I was like, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving over here because they didn't find new land or make an epic journey across the ocean. So it's Thursday.
It's Thursday. Do you have Boxing Day like Canada?
Mm-hmm.
And yes. What is that?
That is the day after Christmas that, years and years and years ago, it started where people would box up extra food, extra gifts, and stuff like that, and give that to the less fortunate. So it's just become Boxing Day.
Oh, I always thought Boxing Day was right after Thanksgiving. I guess it's after Christmas.
The day after Christmas, right. And the funny thing you mentioned, that that Canada does Boxing Day as well. We have got a guest waiting in our green room who is from Toronto. She's from Toronto. Her name is Kristen, and she runs the Twitter page for Queer Comics. And I don't know if you noticed this, but probably not, but queer comic book culture has really taken off lately, everything from, Batgirl being a lesbian to, all that kind of stuff. So I wanted to have her on just to talk about this epic, new surge in queer comic book characters.
Yeah.
So let's bring her in. Kristen.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Hey.
There you are. Oh, look how cute you are.
Oh, thanks.
this is Kristen. This is my co-host JD.
Hello.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
So JD is in South Florida. I am in London and you are in Toronto. Geez. Ping, pang, ping, pang, pang.
Wow. Yep.
We are everywhere.
What is your time zone? Are we in the same time zone? I'm not sure.
Eastern Standard Time, I think it is.
Yeah. So you guys are on the same thing. Yeah. It's just me that's kicking it at 10:45 at night. which is fine. It's cool. I'm all right. It's a holiday for some people. Not us, Kristen, but some people. It's a long weekend for some. So it's really nice to meet you. I've been following you on Twitter for a bit. I was just filling JD in a little bit about why I wanted to have you on the show, because you tweet about queer comics and queer comic book culture.
Yeah, I try to. I feel like there's so much to to talk about that I can't possibly keep up with all of it. And so a lot of the time I'm like, I don't know. I feel like I'm not in the loop, but maybe I am. I don't know.
It's crazy. Yeah. That was one of the things I was telling her, was that it just seems like as of late that that queer comic book culture has just exploded. Like, it just exploded on the scene. And just, you know, as recently as just like a month ago, sorry if my cat gets in the way.
That's okay.
About like a month or so ago, there was some, you know, big thing about, was it Superman's kid?
Yeah,
so there's a new comic book series and Superman's son is queer. And, you know, it's like, it's really polarizing because some people hate it and some people love it and embrace it. Do you find that? Like, how do you, it's not so much a matter of keeping up, but like your thoughts on what's going on with it. Is it
yeah,
because of us? Is it because of the LGBTs?
I hope so. I mean, there's definitely always the people who are maybe familiar with a character that might have been around for a while, and they're like, this isn't the way that I know this character, and any sort of changes that companies might make or new information that they might bring in, people can be a little defensive about it. But the way I see it, a little more inclusion. There's always, and the thing with superhero stories too, is there are always different like universes, different versions of that character in that reality. So maybe in one, they aren't exactly the way that you're imagining them to be. And then maybe this new character exists in a different universe. So it's always a little, you get both sides, both people who are happy about it and people who aren't, people who are like, yay, more diversity and inclusion.
Yeah,
and
that's what, yeah. I guess that's, you know, what I expect, you know, because that's what you want to see. You want to normalize it a little bit more. And there is nothing more normal than comic books. Like,
yeah.
It's a little bit crazy that in this day and age, like grownups are just, you know, they're just bonkers, you know? And it's funny because I was never into it. My wife watches Batwoman. What was the one with Ruby Rose? Is that Batwoman?
Yeah, Batwoman.
Okay, Batwoman. Yep. So, you know, she would have it on and I'd be like mindlessly going through my phone and then I'd be like, hey, are those two chicks kissing?
Yeah.
Hey, put the phone
now
down.
I'm paying attention. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I can get into this now. But you know, more so I see that the pushback usually comes from like when a comic book hero is in like a big studio film release.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's mm-hmm. when you get it. And like,
right.
You know, like big studios are like, Oh, no. We still want, we just want mainstream. We want mainstream, you know?
Yeah, right.
And, you know, kudos to Ryan Reynolds with Deadpool, because he just, you know, he's just every bit of everything. And he doesn't, you know, the character Deadpool is just, the way he's brought it to life has been fantastic. Like that one I'll watch, you know, that one I will definitely watch. But I noticed that you every once in a while will put out a call for people that are creating new queer comic book story and characters and whatnot. Do you get a lot of response to that?
Depends on the day. Sometimes I find a lot of the time I'm tweeting late at night, so I don't really know how many people are paying attention. But yeah, I do want to support independent creators because they have stories to tell and not always necessarily the same avenues to tell them or the same resources to tell them, but their stories are just as important. So I try to support that as much as I can. A lot of like indie comics, a lot of webtoon things with people just posting things on their own. And so it's just, the more representation we have in every form of media, the better.
Yeah.
The more like we'll see different human experiences, the more we'll be able to, I feel like, come together as as a whole human collective and just see each other all as people and not just like, oh, that group is this stereotype. And exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's empowering.
Yeah.
I love that you're doing this because you look too young to know Queer as Folk from the first time around. Do you know? Well, in Queer as Folk from the first time around, what was that, like almost 20 years ago, Denise? Or
25 years ago, I think. Yeah.
Okay. See, I always start watching things. I used to watch it back then too, but I recently did my own reboot of the original one. And Michael Novotny was one of the main characters. That was Hal Sparks. And he was very much into gay comics. He wrote a gay comic book and owned a comic book store. So I was thinking when I was watching that, you know, watching one of the episodes the other day, like, it's too bad people aren't doing that. I didn't realize it was being done, like doing that now, because that's just so cool. And it was so different. And in the show, they gave him a movie deal from his comic book that they wanted to make a movie about his main character, who was,
it was Justin. Wasn't it Justin?
It was Brian, was Rage. And then they were all in it. Justin.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to know that it's really being done in real life now. And, you know, and it's someone like you is out there and getting people to know about it. I love that idea. When Denise told me you were going to be on, I was so excited because I immediately texted her, is it Michael Novotny that's coming up? He's not even a real person, but
it's pretty fun. And, you know, with the amount of hype and press and everything that Comic-Con gets, you know, like, it's just one of those, it kind of goes hand in hand, you know, like you can celebrate your big queer self in a costume at Comic-Con and feel like you fit in, you know?
Yeah.
And I still think, like you said, there's so many different forms of it. I can remember, oh my God, probably back in like maybe 2006, 2007, I followed on Twitter someone that wrote a lesbian cartoon called Geez Louise.
Okay.
And it was so cute. And we had her on the podcast we were doing back then. And it was like really gaining, you know, gaining some traction and everything. And we felt like we were so proud of her. And then it just like kind of stopped, you know, like Lizzie the Leslie was always really big. Do you remember that one? Like,
I think everyone always thought Peppermint Patty was gay.
Peppermint Patty was a little lesbian. Yes. Yes,
and Velma. It Velma or Velma on Scooby-Doo?
Velma, well, yeah.
Oh,
Velma. Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's just, we want so badly to be able to identify that we're just slapping a label on Velma, you know?
Yep, looking for it wherever we can find it.
Exactly, yeah.
But the originality, I think, you know, now that's the thing that people are starting to identify with, like their own ideas are being brought to the surface and people are relating to them. You know, we don't have to like wonder if Peppermint Patty was, like, now we have,
right,
Batwoman is in this television series. So, you know, you don't have to go reaching so hard. It's fantastic. It's, you know, you took over that Twitter handle, didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
Did you feel big responsibility?
It definitely was something I wasn't sure of at first. So the original owner of the account had tweeted out that she was looking for someone to take over. And I was like, okay, because I didn't really realize the full gravity of it at first, but I was like, I love queer comics. I do a lot of reading. I just want to share that love with everyone. And so I was like, hey, I don't know if anyone's taken the spot or messaged you already, but I'm interested if it's still with Philip. And she was like, yeah. And then she asked me to send her some of the things I've written before and ended up passing on the account to me. And it's been a lot. There's so much to keep up with, like I was saying earlier. And if anyone wants to message me to help out, I'm always looking for help to keep up with everything. But yeah, I'm trying my best, trying to juggle life and other things at the same time, and which is why I usually end up tweeting late at night. But yeah.
Anyone with a passion does, you'd probably do it late at night, right?
Yeah.
Well, you find the time, like you have to fit it in your life, and that's
exactly.
Did you were you always into like queer comic? Did you start off like regular mainstream comics and be like, I wonder if there's queer comic books out there, and then go looking for queer stuff and be like all in?
Sort of. So I'm a big video game nerd, and I play. I love Mass Effect and Dragon Age, a lot of the RPGs. What else? What have I been playing lately? Spiritfarer, I've been playing lately. The new Pokemon game just came out, so I've been playing that.
Oh, man.
But yeah, a lot of video games, and specifically the Mass Effect and Dragon Age games came out with comic stories that could sort of supplement other.
That's cool. Yeah.
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 So that's how I first got into comics. I was like, oh, let me check these out and see, because I love the world and I just wanted more of the world.
Right.
So started reading those, and I had to figure out like, okay, this is the panel that I read first, and then I go here, and then just sort of figure out the flow of how to read a comic.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And then from there, I started looking at other comics, because I realized I really enjoyed the medium. And so I went into indie comics first, because I felt like all the superhero Marvel and DC stuff was pretty intimidating at first. So indie comics, and there were also queer characters to start with in the Mass Effect and the Dragon Age universes. So there was queer representation there. And I just found myself sort of leaning more towards that, looking for things like that. And there wasn't a lot, even like less than 10 years ago, the pickings were kind of slim. And it's slowly, gradually been building up. And I feel like now with things like Webtoon and other independent ways of being able to post web comics that people are making just themselves, not through specific publishers, it's been a lot easier for just normal people with not really any connections to anyone to be able to just post their own stuff and share that with people.
That's great. People are putting it out there. I think it's, you know, like you said, sometimes I think it's hard to find the avenue.
Yeah,
you know, right.
Whether you're like, if you're a cartoonist, you know, is there an appetite for just, you know, funny little cartoon things? Will it get picked up? I mean, look at the explosion. Ever since The Simpsons, it's like Family Guy and Bob's Burgers and, you know.
Right.
So much, you know, there's so much of that. And I remember like way back when Logo first became like a big channel, you know, like if you had decent cable, you could get Logo, and if not, they had a great online content. And I think his name was Alan Q Rocca made Rick and Steve, and it was like the funniest little quirky cartoon, and it just caught fire. So it went from like their online content to actually having a cartoon show about two little gay boys, and you know, and it was on Logo, and it was like, wow, like what a jump, from sitting there sketching it out to all of a sudden having it be on a regular channel. It's amazing. But I feel like it's normalizing. Like Jay, was it last week I was talking about Q-Force?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. You know, like it's perfect.
And another character, which Elvira, she's always like at the Comic-Con, you know, those Comic-Con conventions.
Yep.
And my niece Joni, who was a writer for Star Magazine, CityLink, a lot of the celebrity magazines, went to a Comic-Con convention here in Fort Lauderdale, and Cassandra Peterson was there. in Elvira, dressed as Elvira, and she signed, I think if I move this up, you could see it. She signed the poster. Oh. I had this poster from the movie from so long ago.
Yeah.
And she signed it to JD, yours cruelly, Elvira.
Oh, that's so cool.
Even though she's, isn't that cool? Even though she's not a comic book character, she just came out as the real person, Cassandra Peterson, as being gay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys heard that. Did you hear that?
I did
hear that. Yeah, I did hear that. And I mean, that's what I mean. Sometimes I think, like, imagine what it was like, you know, 30, 35 years ago. Like, you couldn't do that. You couldn't say that. You know, you just had to do your shtick and go home and have your private life private. You couldn't talk about it. So yeah, we've come a really long way. But I still think the big hurdle is, you know, having a Marvel Universe, you know, movie and have one of the characters just have a little swish or, you know, be bisexual or, you know, something, because, you know, it's, you have to break through that somehow, you know. It's just, it's so time. It's past time, you know.
Yeah. I was surprised that it took her so long to come out, because you know, she's just out there. Like, why was she waiting to say anything?
Yeah.
Right.
Because yeah.
It seems like she was just like ahead of her time with everything she was doing. So it was surprising to me that it took her that long to come out, but it's nice to see that it's becoming more the norm now, where it's becoming a thing in the comic book world. And there are people like you who are there to let us know about it and new characters, or for the people that want to do it. Now there's an avenue. Now there's a you know, media.
That's what I think is what's so impressive about what you're doing. And you know, I think, like anyone, when you're into something like that, you're trying to find people that are like-minded. You know, and the worst thing you're going to do is go to your social media, you know, like, and just search hashtags and search, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, it's important. And I just think it's with the way it makes headlines so fast, you know, nowadays. And like I said, it is polarizing. Like, you're always going to get people that love it and people that hate it.
Mm-hmm,
and you know, in the whole vein of trying to make a nice, you know, universal, empowering collective of one, you know, there's always those people that are like, no way, you know. So it's just, you know, it's busting past them, I think, and making and kind of forcing them to get on board, really.
Yeah,
you know. But it's a cool thing that you're doing, and I think that, you know, I always have this thing that says, when you find your tribe, love them hard, you know. And just it, you know, like, you've got a great tribe there that it's great for, it's a resource, you know. It's a real resource that you're providing. Not only are you giving people the attention they deserve, but, you know, again, you're giving them so much choice. Because like you said, there's so much out there, you know. From gaming to cartoons to superheroes to comic books to Comic-Con, and that's just the surface, you know. And I'm sure there's so much more. It's incredible. So well done, you.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
Do you find that there's an age range? Is there like a difference in ages on where this is more accepted or more popular? Then is it more popular with the younger people, or is it across the board in the comic book world?
It's hard to tell. I think that there's a bigger range than we see online, just because some people don't really want to be online very much. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely a lot of stories that I think apply universally to people of any age. And so, as long as they can somehow find it and enjoy it, that's fine with me, even if they're not necessarily online for everyone else to see or for everyone to interact with, that is fine with me. But I think it's a range. We just don't see as much of potentially like older people or really young people. Yeah.
And I remember, like, so Jay, you mentioned Queer as Folk, right? Like it's, that was 25 years ago or whatever, right? But just in the last like 10 years, like you were saying, Kristen, if you think about like how popular the Big Bang Theory was, right? And those guys made being nerds cool, you know, their comic book obsessions were, you know, something that we could laugh about, but we knew it was going on in our circles, you know, we totally knew it. So they kind of brought some light to it, you know, and then, you know, us LGBTers got in there and said, Hey, we got stuff too, you know? So yeah, it's like, it's amazing. It's fantastic. I think, you know, being that you are so young, you know, and having a passion for it, it just means that it's going to grow. You know, I think you are going to get, you know, people, I mean, like, look at the way grown men flock to like Iron Man and you know what I mean? Right. So yeah, it's just a matter of time before, like, you know, we get to do that. But I think that the younger people will find their interest, you know. Like anime is like a big deal thing.
It is.
So much stuff spawns from that, you know, like, you know, games and books and all that kind of stuff. But I watch a thing on Netflix called Midnight Diner that somehow connected in some weird, long, weird, twisty way, started off as kind of like an anime manga type of thing. And it's now kind of like a Netflix series. It's not great. I mean, it's not well done. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a little, I want to use the term underfunded.
Okay. Yeah. Like, yeah. I get what you mean.
Yeah. So the, the actors aren't fantastic and they have very, very limited, sets, you know. A lot of it just takes place in a diner that's open from midnight to 7 a.m. in Japan. And it's just interesting. It's kind of, you think it is kind of like about food, because the guy doesn't have a menu and you just tell him what you want and he makes it for you if he has the ingredients, or you can bring him the ingredients, but then the story ends up being about why that customer ordered that dish. So it's I know it's quirky and it's weird and it's strange, but that's just what we're talking about. Like, people will find their thing. Like, I never thought I'd be interested in something like that. And someone was like, you have an interest in, you know, cooking shows and chef shows and all that kind of stuff, like, you know, real, you know, real food, real people, real restaurants, real chefs, but you'll like this because of the concept. So I was like, I'll give it a shot. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed. Like, I've spent on like a 3-day bender with it. So yeah.
That's awesome.
You never know when something's going to hit you in the feels, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think
speaking of the feels, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You go ahead.
I was just going to say, few people know The Walking Dead is a comic book and the story is comic book.
Right.
I didn't know that. I watched it for like 2 seasons before I knew that was a comic book. So although it didn't follow the stories exactly, so if you read the comic, it didn't really give away the show. But so I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, speaking of animated shows, there's this one amazing one that just came out recently called Arcane that's based on the League of Legends video game. And I was not expecting too much from it, but then I watched it and it's amazing. So the world building is fantastic. The character development is fantastic. The lore, it's a beautiful world in the way that they've created it and just built it up. The art style and animation is great. And the most important thing here is that there are two characters, Vi and Caitlyn, who are from, so Caitlyn's from sort of the upper echelons of society. She's in the rich sort of class. And then you have Vi, who's from the lower class, and she's kind of, you know, her parents died and it was her and her sister basically who were taking care of each other growing up. And there's a thing going on between the two of them. So highly recommend it. It will hit you in the feels. Absolutely. There's a lot of like a sister relationship and the dynamics between that for Vi and her sister, taking care of her sister. And then there's Caitlin and Vi's relationship that you should definitely check out if you're
That's
if
you're all interested. You need. Green light. Yeah. But it's funny because like, look at the way I remember, you know, a really long time ago, you know, like I'll go back as far as say 2004, 2005, how difficult it was to find any online content. And we were all like starving for it. So web series were always like a big deal thing.
Yeah.
And they've come so far, you know, I mean, they've just, you know, now at least we get like full-blown movies, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, you have to be grateful for every little crumb.
Right.
It's true.
But, you know, you're, like I said, I just think what you're doing, your breadcrumb path, you know, is helping people in all kinds of way. Like I say, like, I think when you have a passion for something, you will find a way, you know, to find out more about it, and you're giving them those leads. So that's amazing. So thank you so much.
I appreciate it. I love what you're doing. I think it's amazing. And I love that you're doing it. You're taking the time, even if you're doing it in the middle of the night, to get it out there.
That's dedication.
Going. Yeah.
You
know, I have to do that with my music. So, I mean, even if you have to do it in the middle of the night, I am grateful that you're doing that, because I really think this is a great, it should have been done a long time ago. So I'm glad there's someone doing it.
Yeah, it's definitely better than things like, as much as I love Xena Warrior Princess, I wish there was more of that in canon. So it's a lot more come to the front instead of just sort of reading between the lines now, and that's helped a lot of people, I think. It's definitely helped me. So
yeah, it's true. Here's a funny thing. When I got my first condo, my friend moved in. I needed a roommate really bad. My friend moved in. She was a huge Xena Warrior fan.
Yeah. And,
the only way that she would move in was if I would let her have the 6'5" Xena Warrior cardboard cutout in my,
I had one of Elvira
in my dining room. But the thing was, it had this this automatic thing, like when you walked by, it would do the warrior cry.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and we didn't know how to turn it off.
Yeah.
So we would put it in the farthest part of the kitchen. So we would hope that like whatever the range was, we weren't catching it.
Yeah.
But every now and then I would get up in the middle of the night to get a drink and it would catch me and it would do the woo. Like, yeah, I got a soft spot for Xena, but you know, I could kind of take it or leave it after that experience. It's so funny, but thank you so much again for taking the time out to do this. I love what you're doing. I just wanted to let people know the actual Twitter handle is Queer Comics.
Yep. Queer Comics.
They can follow you. They can retweet your stuff. It's a great, great resource if you're into that kind of thing. So
also feel free to DM me. I am friendly. I try to be. Sometimes I'm messaging at 2 a.m, so I might not be in my right mind, but I'll still reply.
That's the important part.
Yeah.
All right, kiddo. Good work. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care, honey.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. That was great, right?
It was. I'm so glad that you found her.
Yeah.
How so cute nice that someone's doing that for real in the real world. Because I'm still watching Queer as Folk from 25 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you will catch up to the comic book part of things in 25 years. So don't worry about it. It'll still be there. It'll be bigger and better than ever.
We drank way too much whiskey.
See?
like, never stop chasing your dreams.